Okay.
5, 4, 3, 2. And welcome everybody to the official first podcast for Morning Project, aka Morning Radio, your new podcast source for Asian entertainment and culture in the English-speaking Western world, and hopefully maybe somewhere else. With us today are yours truly, Eric Patterson, the head honcho over here at Morning Project. As well, we've got Don Curry, the second-in-command and main guy over at Morning Scene.
Good day.
Next, we've got our project manager and overall great guy, Dave Garcia.
Hello.
Last but not least, our fashionista, Cody Durbin.
Hi.
If you've never heard of us or have no idea what in the world Morning Project is, you might be wondering what this is all about. What we are is a group of fans of Asian culture and entertainment who are trying to bring really good coverage of those topics to English speakers. Now, there are, of course, in Japan and in Korea and China and whatnot, there are a lot of native language publications or websites, things like that. And then over here, at least, you know, for those of us in the States, we've got things, magazines and whatnot, that are specifically targeted to people who are Asian or of Asian descent, or that kind of cover, you know, the underground, non-mainstream stuff. But what we want to do is we want to cover everything. We want to have a lot of fun with it and just say, you know what, we like this stuff. Some of it might be kind of fluffy, some of it's not, but, you know, it's what we like and we want to have fun, and so that's why we're here. And so this podcast, hopefully, if this first episode isn't too disastrous, and if we actually keep going on, what we want to do is bring you news, information, reviews, whatever else from the world of Asian entertainment and culture. And of course, it's not just Japan, but also Korea, China, and anything else that we feel our fancy for. And, you know, we want to give those English-speaking fans a new resource for connecting with those things. And hopefully, you know, one of our top priorities is to bring you things that you haven't heard about before or haven't seen or haven't experienced. And, you know, of course, we're going to talk about the big names, but we also want to cover those other things that nobody else is talking about and hopefully give you some new experiences in your life.
Plus, we're all really hot.
Yes. We are going to jump right in with Dave, because he's on the phone here and only has a short amount of time with us. So, Dave, recently you went to Shiokaze-kun, correct?
That's right.
And you had a little bit of a chance to meet somebody special, so, and you're going to be doing something for that for our upcoming second issue of Morning Magazine, so why don't you give us just a little bit of a teaser for what you're going to be doing?
Well, first of all, it's not everyone will know, you know, if anyone says Kumiko Kato, most people probably don't know who she is, but if you've seen the scene report that I have out there on the scene or the magazine that we've, our first issue, you know, you've seen that, you know, she's brand new and she totally took me by surprise, and I just basically fell in love with her at first sight, really. And from then on, it was just like, wow, I need to know everything about her. And it's just, you know, because, I mean, she was just great. And this year, I approached her management and they basically were waiting for me. And they said they wanted to know, you know, they were going to offer me, you know, basically anything I wanted. Well, not anything I wanted, but they were, I asked them about an interview, you know, because I wanted to know a little bit more about her and what we could expect from her in the future. And they set up an interview, a one-on-one. It's actually her first interview. And I was able to speak with her after her closing concert and autograph session on Saturday night at the convention. So I got to go back, you know, basically to her room with her. And I sat down with her one-on-one and recorded an interview with her.
So is she as cute in person as she looks in the pictures?
I've seen no picture that really does her justice as far as how cute she looks. But I just surprised myself. I did manage to take, they did let me take a picture beforehand, you know, because before everything was all no pictures, and I just got used to that. So I didn't even bother to ask, but
right.
He told me that I could take the picture at that moment, and I was like, okay, and that ended up being the best picture I've ever seen of her. Was one of the ones I took.
Now, around this time last year, she had her first single come out over here. What about upcoming music from her? What are we going to be seeing from her, at least on this show, or in Japan, or what's coming up as far as that goes?
Well, one thing about it is this was sort of a special performance. Right now, her management is focusing on her career over in Japan right now. They're pushing her, and she's singing in various clubs and stuff, and they're going to begin selling her music there as well. And so this was kind of a special performance for her to come back and just do one show. Before she goes back, and they do have something in the works to release another single. Her second single is called X-Ray, and that will be coming out in August.
She has another show in August as well, too, right, in Burnaby?
I really don't remember when that was, but I do know, yeah, she does have a Vancouver date set.
Vancouver, BC? Yeah, Anime Evolution 2006, August 19th.
That'll probably be what's sold. And we did hear that we can get it online as well through her website.
Now, did her management talk at all about how her first single did and how she's getting over in America so far?
No. In that first interview, I directed all my questions to Kimiko directly. I did have a lot of other questions about aim to the management, but I wanted to take advantage of the special one time I had with
right.
her.
Right. Well, absolutely. I mean, nobody blames you for that one, you know, so.
I don't.
Well, yeah, that's a nice little, like we said, teaser for what is coming up in the second issue of Morning Magazine. And for more on Kimiko, people are going to just have to wait and see what Dave has in store for that. So we're past Kimiko now?
Mm.
Yep.
Dave, how much, are you done with us? Or you have a little more time, or?
Yeah, I mean, I got a little more time.
Yay!
What do we want to hit next? Or should we do Morning Musume?
Yeah, since Musume. Dave's here.
Yeah, let's do Morning Musume. Okay, this isn't really so much new news, but since this is our first podcast, we wanted to kind of go back and cover this. Morning Musume, those girls that you all know and love. Coming this summer, two more members are going to be graduating. And that would be Asami Kono and Makoto Ogawa.
No!
P. Mako and whatever the hell Asami's nickname is.
Con-Con.
Con-Con, there you go. Asami is going to be graduating Morning Musume on July 27th. She actually has not finished high school yet, so she wants to go back and finish up her high school. And because if she hasn't graduated high school yet, she can't go on to college. So she's going to finish up and graduate high school, and then she's going to go on to college, and she is leaving Hello Project totally. No more Hello Project whatsoever for her.
Aww.
Makoto, on the other hand, is going to be graduating sometime in August, and she wants to study abroad. However, she will probably have some sort of Hello Project connection still. The final details haven't been made. But before we actually talk about them leaving, I think the first question we should ask is, do we care anymore? I mean, do we really care? We, in a larger sense, do we really care about Morning Musume? Are they still important?
Well, I care, but I don't think the general population cares. Just the fanboys.
Because, I mean, I really think that the heyday of Morning Musume, you know, that it is long gone. And at least for me, when I think Morning Musume, I think back to the Do It Now era when Goto Maki was still in the group. And to me, you know, that was Morning Musume. You know, you had Maki, you had Natsumi Abe, you had the twin dorks in there, you know. You had, like, all the major players. And then, you know, I mean, the three new girls came in a little later on, and I know they have their rabid fanboys on the internet and otherwise, but I don't really think they made much of an impact. And then even the new girl, I can't even tell you what her name is.
Koharu.
Koharu. Don, what do you think? Do we care?
I wasn't even aware there was a new one. No, I stopped listening around when Goto Maki left.
But I mean,
it used to be my favorite one.
In a bigger sense, do you think that Morning Musume even matters anymore?
Not to me anyway.
Dave?
No. I don't know. It's hard to say because it's like they've changed so much. Before they seemed like such a group. I mean, everybody contributed to one thing, and now everything is each being marketed more, a little bit more individually, like a collection of individuals instead. And it's they seem less like a group, so they all kind of seem less special.
See,
in a way, to me.
You know, I would actually totally disagree with you there. I actually think the Morning Musume now, when I think of Morning Musume now, I think of Morning Musume, and I don't think of any individuals. You know, I mean, before, I think you had, like I said before, you had Goto, you had Natsumi, you had, you know, everyone's favorite Yaguchi, you had the twins, you had all these people who were together, yes, as a group, and they were Morning Musume, but each of them could stand on their own. And I think, personally, now, the group we have, you have these girls who can't stand on their own, and it's just Morning Musume, and I think it really has become where you can just interchange one girl with another and it doesn't even matter anymore. Where before, I think it actually did matter because, you know, when people like Goto left, you definitely felt that loss. Whereas now...
Well, it's like there's no attachment to them. Like, you know, okay, right. Yeah, a new one comes in, so what? Yeah, another one leaves, so what?
Yeah. Talent-wise, there's only, like, three girls who are featured anyway, like Miki and Takahashi Ai and Reina. They're like the only three who get any singing time now. Like all the other girls are just kind of in the background.
Yeah.
Well, to me, it's like, they're not really promoting anyone as a music group anymore. It's all about, I think, you know, a TV show. It's about, you know, distribution of as many products as you can get out. And it's not, it, you know, basically, I mean, did you listen to the last album that they put out?
I have not, no.
Well, yeah, I did, and it, you know, I couldn't find anything good about it.
Like, it's not that great.
And I thought, well, you know, I guess they're done singing it.
And I think one of the bad sides of Morning Musume has been that it's always been a case where the group sort of existed as a way to create new stars, and as soon as they were big enough, they got sent out of the group, which I think has taken its toll too much on the group as a whole. And like I said, I look at this group now, and I don't really see that many girls in there that matter, you know, that can be spun off. I mean, you don't have, at this point, I don't think you have a Goto Maki. I don't think you have a Natsumi Abe. You don't even have a, you know, No Naibone or anybody like that. I mean, you've got a couple, you know, Tanaka Reina, I'll give her a little bit of credit, I think. But, you know, I don't think she's a strong person. I think she's somebody who is decent enough in Morning Musume, but I definitely don't think on her own she could do anything.
I think they kind of failed when they brought in Fujimoto Miki, because she was already, like, a solo artist, but then they brought her in. And I didn't think that was that great of an idea, because it made her seem like she was too weak to be a solo artist. So now, even if, like, say, Morning Musume broke up, where would she be stuck? Because she already tried the solo stick, and that didn't really work.
Yeah, I do have to agree that I think it was kind of a mistake bringing her in, because it, well, I mean, at least for the group, it might have been a good thing, but for her, that definitely looked like a step down.
Yeah, definitely. Downgrade.
So, you know, where do they go from here? Do they have more auditions? Do they just leave the group as they have it right now and try to kickstart the group back up, or what do they do?
How is their popularity in Japan now? Do they still have elementary school girls after them? Or wasn't that always their market?
Well, elementary school girls.
Other than older and then the
perverted
old boys?
Perverted old men, yeah. You know, I'm not an expert, but you know, just from what I've seen, I know their sales aren't what they used to be, and because I mean, when I was living back in Japan, you know, Morning Musume was a huge deal. I mean, it was huge. I mean, not super huge, but I mean, like everybody knew Morning Musume, and they were always on TV, and there's always talks about the group and stuff like that. And it doesn't seem like people really care as much anymore.
It kind of reminds me of, like, what's a group here? Like, the Backstreet Boys, right? Maybe. Like, you know, they were super-duper popular, and they still have their really hardcore fans, but otherwise they're just not that really bankable anymore.
Right, and there's only so long a group like that can last.
Right.
I'm really surprised that they lasted this long.
I kind of am too. And I think what it was it was desperate attempts to keep bringing in new people to keep it going. But I think just the people they brought in just weren't the superstars they needed to have. And there just aren't any superstars in that group anymore.
Yeah, if they're not moneymakers, they're not going to be around for very much longer.
And I also...
It seems like the type of band there.
I also think another problem, too, is that Barry's might be where Morning Musume used to be. You know, Barry's is the cute young girl group now that can take over that market that Morning Musume used to go for as far as, like, the younger audience.
And they're definitely getting better songs.
Right.
I think Sunku is putting a lot more faith into them and just kind of letting Morning Musume kind of die in dignity, I guess.
More like a long, long, slow, painful death.
Okay.
So the girls themselves, I mean, is this a huge loss? You know, we got Asami, we got Makoto. I mean, for me...
I think so.
For me, personally, I love Makoto, but not as far as the music side. I like her, like, TV personality. And I like her for a lot of reasons. I liked Yaguchi because she just comes off as being this total dork and crazy and nutty and stuff. And so, Asami to me was always, like, the cute little sister that was there, but you just really didn't care much about her, you know? I mean, she's... Yeah, she's cute and she's sweet, but, you know, you don't really care. But, I mean, so is this going to be a big loss? Because, okay, the remaining members we have right now, after these two girls, will be Hitomi Yoshizawa. If she's not leader, she's co-leader.
Oh, she's leader.
Is she actual leader? Okay.
Yeah.
Takahashi Ai, Nigaki Risa, Fujimoto Miki, of course. Then the 3-6 generation girls, you've got Kamei Eri, Michishige Sayumi, Tanaka Reina, and then you've got 7th generation girl, Kusumi Koharu.
Kind of like a cardboard cutout. That's what it reminds me of. Just stand there and look pretty.
Because a lot of those girls are just cute little girls.
Right. Because,
I mean, you know, from what I've seen of Koharu, she actually seems to have a decent personality and everything, but you don't have the crazy, you know, twins, you don't have Yaguchi, you don't have the sexy Godomaki, you don't have the sweet Natsumi, you know.
Yeah.
You don't really have that many, like, standout. Beyond Miki, you don't have that many standout, you know, girls there.
And if Yoshizawa leaves, then it's all over. As soon as she retires or graduates, it's pretty much over.
They'll have no one to play the man on Hello Morning.
Any other final comments on Morning Musume? Anybody care? All right. Well, I guess that answers that question. Okay, well, you know, Morning Musume's done up, but someone else who's done is Dave. Unfortunately, Dave has to run, so he is leaving this part of the podcast. So, Dave, it was very nice having you here tonight.
Nice to be here.
And hopefully we will talk to you on our second episode, maybe.
Yep.
Okay.
Definitely. All right.
Talk to you later.
Bye.
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 See you next time.
Then, now that we said goodbye to Dave, our next news story is Cody at Anime Boston. And on our show notes here, it says fun stories. So what fun stories from Anime Boston do you have, Cody?
Actually, I did something that I'd never done before.
Uh-oh.
Yeah, I performed in the Masquerade. And if you don't know what a masquerade is for a convention, it's basically like a skit competition. Pretty much create a skit from whatever show you're cosplaying as, and then you get judged, and you can win awards. Actually, I did that, and I was a part of Bleach, which was really mega popular this year, actually, because it's been licensed, so it's probably going to be shown on Cartoon Network. You can probably bet that. Otherwise, the only other big things is always Naruto, which is mega super huge, and One Piece, and Full Metal Alchemist. Other than that, I got hit on by a drunk guy, so that's about it. There weren't any major announcements other than Kaiju Big Battle came, and they did a performance.
See, I'm sorry I missed that. Ugh.
Oh, it was really good. If you don't know who they are, they're basically, like, wrestling with monsters, or guys in monster costumes wrestling each other. So it's basically like a big Japanese-style wrestling match.
Now, is that the one with the Dr. Tofu guy?
Or am I thinking actually, he's just a cube. He's Dr. Cube.
Okay.
Yeah, and unfortunately, the sad news is that one of the Plantain brothers died. I can't remember which one.
Not for real, though, like I thought.
Oh, no, not for real. They never really die. they, quote, die.
Now, but for those who aren't familiar, what are the Plantain Brothers?
They're two Cuban brothers, and they're bananas, obviously.
Obviously.
Yes, this sounds so weird, doesn't it? Okay, Los Plantanos, a.k.a. the Plantain Twins, and unfortunately, one of them died. But the problem was is that Silver Potato, who was supposed to be a hero, killed him. And now he's on Dr. Cube's side, and he's the evil guy. So, big stir-up.
So, a Silver Potato killed a Cuban banana twin.
Yes.
Basically.
So, do they just continue the story over different convention performances?
Actually,
they have a TV show, don't they?
They were for G4 taped them. They taped the whole battle, so they should be showing it on G4. Otherwise, they just play around different arenas. Or not arenas, but different houses and venues. But I think it was the first time they've ever been to an actual convention. Otherwise, there weren't any big announcements from any companies or anything. It was mostly just a lot of fun.
And there's no music there, right?
No, they didn't have any music because they had Kaiju Big Battle. That was their Friday event instead of a band.
So now you said you were part of the Masquerade show.
Yeah. I was the Hollow from Bleach, and Hollows are the evil spirits. It's kind of hard to explain if you've never seen Bleach.
But how would you explain your costume to somebody who has not?
All right, well, it looks like an armless and a legless black figure with a white face and a long nose. Kind of like a shape changer. It's hard to explain.
So did you actually change your shape up on stage?
Actually, no. We went intentionally ghetto because the skit was supposed to be kind of ghettofied. And what we did was just put black robes over us with paper plate faces. But it got a lot of laughs. We didn't win anything, but that's okay.
Is it kind of like the big guy from Spirited Away?
Yes! Yes, that's exactly what we look like.
Now I know what you're talking about.
And you got hit on by drunk guy.
Yeah.
As a big...
The mascot, right?
As a big shape changer.
Oh, no.
Oh, okay.
I wasn't wearing any...
Oh,
I was just in my normal clothes.
So not as fun, then. Oh.
Yeah.
Okay.
Other than that, nothing major announcements. That's mostly for the bigger convention.
So how many people would you think were at MA Boston?
Easily, if I had to take a guess, I would definitely say over 5,000.
So it's not huge, but not small.
Well, actually, it's I think it's now the third largest convention in the United States.
Is it?
Anime Expo in Anaheim, California. And the second being Otakon in Baltimore, Maryland. But their numbers are like 23,000 to Anime Boston with under 10,000, so it's still big.
And breaking into the podcast for a second here, we have another guest with us tonight. It is resident hot boy over at Morning Project, Adam Dunlap.
Hey!
So, okay, I think we were doing news just a second ago before he came in. E3. Now, E3 was just a couple weeks ago, and we're not going to go into it in detail here because you have probably already read, seen, and heard nearly everything about it. But there are some games that were there that you probably have not read about. And in the upcoming issue of Morning Project, issue number 2, I will have a little E3 special going on about the 10 games that I saw at E3 that I loved and that nobody else is really covering. There is a couple of very, very surprising games coming to the U.S. From Japan. Things like Cooking Mama or Rule of Rose. And yes, Tulip, by the way, Tulip is still coming over, so don't worry about that. But we're not going to spend too much time on E3. Instead, we are now going to segue into drama.
Drama.
Oh, the drama.
So, Adam and Don, I believe you have a couple of shows you're watching right now that you would like to talk about.
Well, both Adam and I are watching.
Yeah.
Two of the same ones, at least. Attention, Please, with Ueto Aya, and Gal Circle, with Yaguchi Mari, or the monkey.
Now, for anybody who's not familiar with them, who are those two people?
Wei Tuaya. She's a singer. She's also a very popular drama actress as well. She was in Hito Natsu no Papa E as well. Yaguchi Mari was obviously in Morning Musume.
And she's the small crazy one, right?
The chibi.
Yes. And Adam's love interest.
Yes.
That's right. Yaguchi was my favorite Morning Musume member back when she was around.
So how are the shows? Tell us about them.
Well, Tension Police starts off as kind of rip-off of Nana. I don't know if you've seen that, but or read the manga. About a girl in a rock band who loses her boyfriend and moves to Tokyo after him. He quits the band, so she goes after him, and she gets the job as a Japan Airlines flight attendant. Yes, and all the exciting adventures that ensue after that.
Yeah, all the exciting life of an airline attendant.
Cabin attendant.
And is it exciting?
Well, I've only had the chance to watch the first couple episodes, but from what I've seen, it seems like it's starting to pick up. I wasn't really a big fan of the first episode, but
I've been watching until the second six. One. I'm up to episode 6 now, but I don't really watch it with subtitles, so I missed some of the story, I think.
So it's not actually being fan-subbed yet?
No.
Actually, I think it is. It has started being fan-subbed, but I haven't been keeping up with fan-subs for that series, though.
I'm too impatient to wait for them, so...
But, yeah, I believe currently that series has been subbed up to episode 4.
It's not too bad.
But I think that the group doing that series is doing a hard-sub series, so I'm not really a big fan of hard-subs.
See,
I haven't been keeping up with those.
I'm kind of torn on that, because, I mean, sometimes I like hard-subs better, just because that way I don't have to worry about the program being able to support subtitles or not. Mm. And sometimes it's like, well, it's nice to also have it, you know, untouched and
usually cured. The soft subs are available first.
Yeah.
That's usually the benefit. You can download the,
yeah,
cause the
it's
original.
It's a lot easier to do.
Yeah.
So the other show was...
Gal Circle. Gerusa.
And how is that?
It's a very interesting... It's about a group of... Pada Pada dancers, and a cowboy from Arizona who comes down in a parachute. He ends up in Shibuya in a parachute. And
what?
Well, each, I don't know how, see, well, I don't watch with subtitles, right?
So now, is he Japanese or is he Western? Or
he's Japanese, but he has a funny Western accent kind of thing.
Yeah, the part's played by Fujiki Naohito.
Yeah.
He's been in quite a few other dramas, like...
Ichiritsuru no Namida. 1 liter of tears, as well. Koko Kyoshi.
Koko Kyoshi.
Was he the...
He was the main character in Koko Kyoshi.
Oh, the main?
Yeah, Uwe Tawaya was also in there, yeah.
Oh, he was the main teacher from Koko Kyoshi? I can't
tell. Yeah, love interest of Aya.
Ah, okay.
But his role in the series is a lot sillier, of course.
Yeah, each member of the dance group, I guess, has problems every week, and he solves them. You know, one of those.
Wow, I'm gonna have to watch this now. I totally haven't heard about this.
It's very fun. It's very silly, like Adam said, but it's amusing anyway, if just for entertainment value.
Yeah, it's a really entertaining show. I'd say the setup is kind of similar to like a GTO type series, where the one main character, he kind of comes in, he's kind of stupid, but yeah, he's like, everybody kind of hates him at first, but slowly he kind of wins over everybody and he solves all their problems.
Yeah, same Goksen idea as well.
Goksen.
Each episode deals with one particular person's problems and he brings them onto his side by helping them out. So everybody, by the end, they all like him.
So how many episodes so far were you into that one?
I think they're about on par with 7, same attention please, I mean 6 or 7.
Yeah, I believe episode 7's just been broadcast.
And that has or has not been subtitled yet?
This series is being subtitled, but I haven't been keeping up with those either.
Well, we've both had a few years, well, I had 1 year Japanese and Adam's had 2, I think.
Well, this series really isn't a very hard to follow series. A lot of the just the humor and stuff is just...
It's very visual, all the antics.
Yeah, it's very visual.
So you really aren't missing much even if you don't have subtitles yet.
Yeah, you really aren't missing much, and a lot of the Japanese in there is fairly simple. So you're able to keep up with the story without having to catch every little small detail.
There's not many deep scenes with lots of speech and emotion and all that, I guess. A little bit easier to follow than Attention, Please.
And then do we want to mention Fat Eyebone by chance?
Mm.
Yeah, well, I watched the first episode of that and wasn't too interested.
And this is a reality documentary, right? About her adventures in fatness, or no?
Not quite.
Oh. No, this actually, it's not a show about Fat Ibon. I was just telling you guys that to hopefully
you have my hopes
get
up.
Guys to watch. I was hoping that you guys would actually watch it if I said that, because you guys don't usually listen to what I say.
Well, it's another one of those ugly duckling type things.
Mm. Well, the show's called Busuno Hitomi ni Koishiteru. I fell in love with the eyes of the ugly person. It stars... Shoot, I don't even know her name. It stars
Murakami Tomoko.
Sure, Murakami Tomoko. She's a comedian and one of the SMAP guys.
Inagaki Goto. He's on there as well.
That's okay. None of us are ready for this, so, you know, don't worry about it. So is that any good?
I'd say it's the best drama of the season.
Really?
Oh, really?
The basic premise of the story is Tomoko is a young lady trying to become an actress, and Goto is a variety show writer. And he runs into this lady when she's working at a ramen shop and decides he wants her to be in his show, but she doesn't want to have anything to do with the variety show because she doesn't believe that it's real acting. She doesn't want people laughing at her. So he keeps trying to kind of win her over, and they just start to develop a relationship, and the series just goes from there.
And now is that who Kago plays?
Yes, that's the character that I call Kago. I think she looks kind of similar, if you kind of squint, maybe.
Okay, so wait. So it actually isn't? It actually isn't Ibon, then?
No, it's not Ibon.
Okay, see, you had me thinking that it actually was.
It's actually not Ibon.
Oh, okay.
Murakami Tomoko.
Okay. I'm sorry. I was totally confused here. Then okay.
No, she's about three times the size of of Ibon.
She actually isn't that ugly of a person, but everybody in the cast is like supermodels.
Okay.
So that kind of offsets her. I'd say she looks kind of like the typical fat Japanese person you'd just see.
Okay, so we have Attention, Please, which watch, don't watch, which one?
Definitely watch. If not for anything else, but Uyo to Aya.
Watch if you got nothing else to do.
Then you've got Gal's Circle, watch, don't watch.
Watch, definitely.
Watch definitely.
And then you got
make you laugh.
Then you got the fat girl one.
Fat girl.
Watch.
I'll pass.
Absolutely watch.
But I'll pass.
So watch.
I don't seem to be convinced of me otherwise.
Okay, then I guess that just about does it for this episode's drama section. Thank you guys. And now we are going to move on to let's see. Oricon top 10. Should we do that next?
Sounds good.
Anybody here care? Nobody cares here. Okay, this week's Oricon Top 10. The top 10 rankings for the music singles in Japan. What do we have here? At number 10, we have those cute guys, Arashi.
Yay!
Kito Daijoubu.
It's a great song. A great video, too.
Number 9.
You're in the top 10?
Yes, top 10.
Woo!
They are in the top 10, yes.
I've actually heard that song, and I like it.
Yay!
You like that? Have you seen the video?
Yes.
I gave him the video.
That explains a lot about you.
At number 9, we have Ali Project with Bokoku Kakusei Catharsis. Anybody? Alright. Moving on to number 8, then. We've got Yuna Ito with Precious.
I don't like her.
You don't like her?
I enjoyed this. You don't like her, or you don't like the song?
No, I don't really like any of her songs. She's only released two, but they're both too slow for me.
I didn't mind that, though.
Well, I never used to be into ballads, but this one's pretty good, definitely.
Alright.
I have no
clue. Number 7, and I'm probably going to butcher their pronunciation here, is IC5? Or Ace? AICE5. How do you pronounce that? And it's Believe My Love.
They're new, so...
They're new.
Yeah.
No one knows.
Yeah. I don't know much about them yet.
It's the high quality podcast here, folks. All right, number 6. We've got the Gospelers. Hitotsujino Kiseki. All right.
Well, they're not Rag Fair, but they're talented. I'll give them that.
See, I might put them above Rag Fair. I don't know.
Oh. No way.
Above Rag Fair?
Yeah, really.
I don't know. Number five, we've got Yui Horie with Hikari. Okay.
She's a seiyuu, actually. So, you know, she's doing her...
So is this a anime-connected song, then? Or is it just her doing, like, a album based off her popularity as being a seiyuu?
It's just for her... It's for an anime opening theme.
Okay.
Inukami,
okay. The Gog God. How about the Dog God?
Spoonerism.
All right. Number four, Coco, right?
Coco.
With Hino Teri Nagara, Ame no Furu. Okay, that's number four. Yeah, we don't care. Number three, everybody's other favorite cute young boys wins with Trial.
Yay.
I see.
I'll pass on that.
I'm ashamed to admit this. I mean, I haven't heard this song, but I actually do like some of Win's stuff, so...
Oh, come on, they're great.
Well, they haven't been good since they hit puberty.
They have that kind of music that just gets stuck in your head and you can't get it out. Mm. Which might not be a good thing, actually, but...
They've been kind of weak lately, like the stuff they've been releasing. It's not as strong as what they first came out with, but, you know, any kind of wins is good wins, I guess.
Number two is the Arokawa girl herself, Koda Kumi. With Koi no Tsubomi.
Oh, this song is a theme song for that drama.
Oh,
So I've heard this song a lot.
And what do you think?
I think this is a really good song. I haven't been listening to much Koda Kumi recently, but I really like this one. It's an upbeat song, and I don't know. It's just catchy. It's good. Right. It's good.
It's good.
That works.
It's good. And finally, number one this week on the Oricon Top 10, Masaharu Fukuyama with Milk Tea, which we have decided is a good song because milk tea is delicious.
It is.
It is.
But I have no idea who he is.
That's the kind of journalistic integrity we've got here. So not in the top 10, but close were people such as Orange Range. Orange Range, Namoru.
See, number 11, I like.
Namie Yamuro. Yeah, I don't care about them. Mihimaru GT, number 15. SMAP at number 19. Dean at 22. John DeArc at 25. Cartoon 28. So.
Rock.
So there you go. That is this week's Oricon Top 10. So, do we want to keep going on our since we're just straight through recording here, are we, let's do Morning Scene. We've got the Morning Scene guy here, Don Curry. Let's do Morning Scene. First of all, what is Morning Scene, Don? Where can we find it, and what do you have for us this podcast?
Find it at scene.gomorning.com, and it's not the only source anymore, but it's certainly
what?
The best one.
It's not the only source anymore?
No, there are other lesser competitors out there. I don't call them competitors, really, because... Either way, it's just a place to find Japanese music releases, performances, and also iTunes downloads from North America. So, I think the next upcoming, the big upcoming thing, is Hyde, who has two dates in America, June 2nd in Anaheim, and June 6th in San Francisco. Is that exciting for anybody?
Yes. I wish I could have done.
No. We have a girl here. Of course, she's excited by it.
Of course, I'm excited. Ruku was my first like real big J-rock band that I got into. So, I wish I could go, but I don't have money to go out to California. And plus, it's like sold out anyways.
Now, is that an actual concert by itself, or is it a show or a con or anything? Or?
No, it's a.
Oh, it's individual concert.
Yes, it's a solo. Yeah.
Yeah. So I think the next biggest news would be the return of Puffy Yumi.
Oh.
But they only have...
Where do they go?
Five... Where do they go? Philadelphia. Or, I mean, return to America.
Oh.
Yeah. No, I mean, they didn't go anywhere.
They went to hell
Yeah,
back.
I thought you meant they left.
The return... Well, okay. In the North American context, the return. You know, they have a few shows. They missed Toronto again, unfortunately. But... They have Philadelphia, Washington, New York, Boston, Chicago, Detroit, and Cleveland.
Ooh, that's close.
That's close? Will you, yeah. Will you get that?
Probably not.
They need to come
probably
south.
Yeah, I agree. They need to come further south.
They last time they played, they did have a show in Toronto, but I wasn't in here. I wasn't here that time, unfortunately. And the Pillows are also going to Mexico City and Chicago, New York, and Seattle.
Ooh, ooh. That's a trend ooh. I've noticed lately. It's a lot of bands are going to Mexico.
Yeah, they have one show in Mexico City, and then they start there. But they miss Canada. That's it's unfortunate.
That is kind of interesting, though. Okay, Mexico City.
Yeah, there was another group, a J-Rock group called Blood, and they went down to Mexico City to perform. It must be the next big city to go.
well, it's probably. It was the capital of Mexico, right? I believe.
Right, sure.
And Moi Dis Moi, which J-Rock, Cody knows about, I believe.
Yes.
But you're not a big fan.
They're okay. They're a little too gothic industrial for me, but everyone likes Mana.
Of course.
Mana.
Mana.
A little too much makeup for me.
So is that Mana's band then?
Mana's band, yeah. It's his new project since he left Miser, or since Miser broke up.
Well, all these shows are basically around the same time, the beginning of June. And next, North by Northeast, which is the Canadian version of South by Southwest, obviously. But there's two small independent Japanese bands called Mega Babe and Stone Death, which very obscure, I think. I've never heard of them.
Mega Babe?
Mega Babe. Mega it's Babe. Kind of, well, you know, Shonen Knife.
Right.
Three girls, like three. Same idea. Japanese punk rock kind of thing. But they actually have a free show in Toronto on June 10th. That's good. Part of the North by Northeast Indie Music Market, Young Dundas Square. So
are you going to go?
I'll be taking pictures of that, yeah.
Okay.
At 5 p.m. on June 10th. And that's about it for the morning scene news.
And as he said at the beginning, if you want to find out more about any of these concerts, any other upcoming shows, or we have a great list of everything that you can get on the American and Canadian iTunes Music Store, like what Asian songs you can find there, you can hit us up at scene.gomorning.com for all that fun information.
Slash iTunes.
Well, you've got to come to us first, and then you can go to iTunes.
That's true.
So, I think
the American list is fairly up to date. So.
And help us crush our competitors, now that I know that we have some, because we can't have that.
Yeah.
As our final item for our inaugural official podcast.
This was official?
This is the first official one. There was an unofficial one. This is the first official one, yes.
It's official.
We're actually putting this crap out. I know. It's hard to believe, but our final topic, cute boy on boy love.
Woo!
A.K.A. Yaoi. If you don't know what Yaoi is, let me explain it to you this way. There's Yaoi, and there's Yuri. Yuri is when a girl and a girl come together and the birds and the bees happen and everything. Well, if that's for girls, then Yaoi is the other side of the spectrum. Why do women love guys who love guys? Now, Cody, as our resident
woman,
do you have any?
It defies the normal, that is. Because most of the times in most Yaoi things, it's extremely beautiful men. Like, really, really beautiful, could probably pass as a woman if they didn't talk men. I'm not sure what we find so attractive in that. I guess it's not something that we can have.
See, I was just going to ask you, I mean, now, as you say that, I think, well, doesn't that kind of mean that you like girls then? I mean, not you personally, but the girls who like the feminine-looking men, does that mean they like girls, but with
no,
peni, or?
No. I think that the girls, it's something that we can't normally get outside in the real world, you know? Because guys aren't really that pretty. Like, well, I mean, there are pretty guys.
You don't say.
But, I mean, you can't really find guys that look like some certain characters, like Clamp guys, for example, or like Final Fantasy characters. You can't really find guys like that. There's no way. I mean, because if I found a guy that looked like Cloud, I'd be all over that. So it's something that, you know, we can fantasize about.
Now, the reason we're bringing this up is because, who is this here? The Toronto Star recently, on May 21st, had an article, Women Drawn to Men Loving Men. The comic book genre draws on gay love with a heterosexual twist. And just to read a little excerpt from this, forget gay men as you know them. Imagine how they look and act if they walk straight out of a woman's sexual fantasy. In the 1970s, Japanese women explored this fantasy and put it down on paper, giving birth to yaoi, a comic book genre that seduced women around the world with sexually explicit gay male love stories. Created by women for women, yaoi is male heterosexuality retooled for female pleasure. Now, it actually goes on to say that whereas Japanese comics that were geared towards gay men had peak print runs of about 40,000 copies, many of the bigger yaoi titles can get around 500,000 copies.
That's yeah, but there's some animes and manga out there where they don't intend it to be yaoi, but it ends up seeming really gay anyway, and girls will just pair the guys together. Like Prince of Tennis, for example.
Right.
There's like hardly any girls in it, so you just have a big group of guys and you can just kind of go wild with that.
And see, I think what's interesting too about this thing is if you look at the other side of the coin where you take the male fantasy of girl-on-girl action, if I in real life suddenly walked in my room and, oh my god, there's two girls making out on my bed, you know, that would be pretty damn cool for me. But I think, being realistic, if you're a girl and you walk in and two guys doing it, you know, in your room, I'm not really sure how much of a turn-on that would actually be.
It depends on the guys.
I still think it's one of those things where you think in fantasy it seems like it'd be nice, and then you see it in real life. But of course, at the same time, you know, I talk about girl-on-girl stuff, and then you see some of the, you know...
The fantasy lesbian is never the right. realistic one, right?
Yeah.
Exactly.
That's the big rule.
I was going to say, isn't girl-on-girl action a really big thing for guys? I mean...
Yeah.
So it's like the same thing, pretty
but
much.
But see, girls are nice and sweet and cute and pure and soft and shapely and curvy and, you know, got all the pieces in the right places. And whereas a guy, you know, a guy's a guy, you know?
That's why they're effeminate and beautiful, the guys in yaoi, that is.
So why do so many girls who like anime like yaoi?
Everyone has their different reasons, I guess.
Or is that just a stereotype?
Yeah, that would be a stereotype.
You think
to say that every anime girl likes yaoi?
I don't know. I've met a lot.
Well, I have too. I know a lot, but I know some people who aren't really into it. Like some girls that are just like, not for me. Moving on. So really, but otherwise in general, a lot of anime fan girls are.
I think the larger problem is women liking feminine men.
But that's such a common thing, though, like, in the visual...
It is a problem, because all you girls always say how we're objectifying you and how we're putting unrealistic, you know, like, old Barbie and everything with this tiny little waist and the big breasts and everything, and that's so unfair to you girls, and then you girls turn around and you make all these comic books with these pretty guys that we can't live up to. You're doing the exact thing...
It makes it hard for real men.
Exactly, you're doing the exact same thing to us.
I'm sure you guys are just crushed.
Do we... Any other big thoughts on this topic at all?
I try not to think about it very often.
I'm opposed to it, that's all.
You're opposed to it.
So that means that, Adam, you think about it sometimes?
No, I try not to think about it.
Oh, okay.
It is, you know what actually, I mean, I almost think... I mean, you have yaoi, the guy-on-guy stuff, and sure, there is some yuri, the girl-on-girl stuff, but... I think there's a lot more the guy-on-guy stuff than there is the girl-on-girl. And what's really interesting is when I was in Japan, I talked to some Japanese guys, and none of the guys I talked to at all were into the lesbian thing.
Hmm.
Like, not only were they not into it, they couldn't understand why a guy would like the idea of two girls making out. So it's really interesting that there's such a big market for in manga and anime for the guy-on-guy stuff for the girls, but there really isn't much of the girl-on-girl stuff for the guys. And in turn, in America, where the girl-on-girl stuff would be a lot more popular, I think, there's not much out there, whereas now a lot of this guy-on-guy stuff is starting to come over here.
Yeah, there are a lot of animes that are being released with gay-ish undertones.
Because I remember... I'm trying to think of the first one that came out over here. I don't know if it was... Fake or because back when I worked at Game Fan, they were actually I sent a review copy for what I think was the first guy on guy anime that ever came out over here, and that was a long time ago.
Yeah.
And then like nothing came out for a long time, but now you all of a sudden you've got a lot of this stuff coming over here.
Descendants of Darkness, that's a good one.
And what's the one with the guys who are singing? God, I can't remember the name.
Vice Chorus?
No, it's not like, it's not Audition.
Oh, Gravitation. You mean Gravitation?
Yeah, Gravitation.
Oh, that one's one of the most popular ones ever.
Yeah, and with the manga explosion over here, we're seeing, you know, more of the manga titles now, too, so it's...
It's a good thing. If anything, you know, open up to different options out there.
So, I think that wraps it up for this podcast. Do you guys agree? And any final thoughts? Any thoughts on our first podcast here?
I'm satisfied.
Other than it being an utter mess?
I think it's an utter mess.
Genius.
You have to start somewhere.
You have to start somewhere, right. Exactly. Well, folks, I guess then that is our first official morning radio podcast here. We know it's been a little crazy, and you know, we're getting the kinks worked out. This for all of us, this is all of our first podcast. So, you know, at first it might not be as fun and exciting as it will be later on. We ask that you stick with us, and if at all, if you have any questions, comments, concerns, death threats, words of praise,
marriage proposals,
offers of sexual favors, or anything else of that nature, you can contact us at radio@gomorning.com. That's radio@gomorning.com. As always, you can visit us at gomorning.com, and especially cafe.gomorning.com are our message forums, where everybody is more than welcome to come and say hello and participate in all of the fun discussion we have there. We don't know exactly when our next podcast will be coming out, but hopefully very soon. If you found us via iTunes, which hopefully this will be up on iTunes, then just keep subscribed. And like I said, you know, send us any and all comments and opinions that you've got, and let us know where we sucked, where we did good. But most of all, you know, just give us a few more episodes and let us kind of work our way into it and get into the rhythm, and that's about it. Guys have any say goodbye or anything like that?
Come back next time.
Check us out.
Adam? Adam's off in the corner crying. Alright then, for myself and for Don and Cody and Adam and the dearly departed Dave, this is Eric from Morning Radio, and we are signing off. Check you later.
Bye.
Later.
Hello, folks. This is your captain speaking. This is the end of Morning Radio Episode 1. And this is the little outro bumper here. Now, I know what you're thinking, you know, about this first episode. It's a little rough. I know. But, you know, we're going to get better. We're going to try harder. And we're going to hopefully be back with many more episodes and a lot of interesting things for you to listen to and enjoy. Anyhow, we end this first episode with a song by a group called Flower Companies. And the song is Shinya Kosoku. It's a nice little rock and roll kind of ditty. I liked it, and I hope you will too. And hopefully we will have you as a listener again for our next podcast and many, many more. And like I said, send us your emails, your comments, or whatever. And enjoy the song. See you next time. Out. Yes, go,
けながら旅の途中、ヘッドライトの光は手前しか照らさない、真っ暗な道を走る、胸を高ぶらせ走る、目的地はないんだ、帰り道も忘れたよ、壊れたいわけじゃないし壊したいものもない、だからといって全てに満足してるわけがない、夢の中で暮らしてる、夢の中で生きてゆく、心の中の漂流者、明日はどこにある、生きててよかった、生きててよかった、生きててよかった、そんな夜を探してる、年を取ったら取るだけ増えていくものは何、年を取ったら取るだけ透き通る場所はどこ、10代はいつか終わる、生きていればすぐ終わる、若さはいつもすっぱだか、見苦しいほど一人も、生きててよかった、生きててよかった、生きててよかった、そんな夜を探してる、生きててよかった、生きててよかった、一つ残らず持ってけ、どこまでも持ってけ。